Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my
welcome,
soul.
Friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
We can plainly see that the words of the Bible are in themselves of no necessary profit to men. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, that is, the unbelieving Jews. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Faith is the gift of God, and is a necessary ingredient in the manifestation of the salvation of the Lord's people. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Yet without the Spirit's application of that word to a quickened hearer, no one will believe the preached word, and it shall fall on deaf ears. What a glorious event it is, however, when the sovereign Lord of mercy and grace is pleased to give a dead sinner life and give him ears to hear and faith to believe the glorious gospel of God. Apart from this gift of faith, the gospel can only manifest the doom of those who do not believe. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? The lives of God's people are like giant puzzles which are designed by the grandest of artists. Every piece is fashioned with care, and no piece of that puzzle can or shall be left out and still appear as the artist intended. This is especially true of that instruction which the Lord is pleased to impart to his sons. Each utterance from his lips is a word fitly spoken. The Lord said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." A word fitly spoken is as the sharpest of swords. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. David experienced it when the Lord sent the prophet Nathan with these words, "Thou art the man," even as Peter did when the cock crowed and the words of the Lord Jesus rang in his ears, and he went out and wept. A word fitly spoken is as a raging fire which cannot be quenched. Wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. For our God is a consuming fire. The wood, hay, and stubble in the lives of God's people shall be burned by that word fitly spoken. He will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Yet who among the sons of God would ever desire to escape his chastening? For indeed we know that whom the Lord loveth he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, and not sons. A word fitly spoken is as a fountain which brings forth the coolest and sweetest water to a weary soul. And he said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Is this not the same fountain which our Lord described to the Samaritan woman? "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." A word fitly spoken is that which awakens the dead. We see this demonstrated on a Judean hillside as the Lord of life and glory stands before a stinking tomb and says, "Lazarus, come forth." Out of that darksome cave and still wrapped in grave clothes came the man whom the Lord called by name. Is this not a perfect picture of those whom the Lord is pleased to awaken from the deadness of sin and nature's night by a word fitly spoken? This is not a word which can be uttered by a mere mortal, but must be spoken by him who alone is able to cause the dead to hear. We are comforted by that same one whose word shall command the sea to give up her dead and shall gather his elect from the corners of the earth in the day of the resurrection. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Do you find a place of comfort in these words?
If you would like a free transcript of this broadcast, email us at forthepoor@windstream.net.